Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 21st chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text, which has already been read. One time, I think it was about 1977, a young man told me that he knew when the world was going to end. He had read his Bible, he said, especially Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. And he had done the math, he said, and he knew when the world was going to end, he said. And to ensure that his calculations were correct, he said, he had prayed to God that his reading of the Bible was correct and that God had assured him that his figures were indeed true, that he was correct, that the world was in fact going to end in 1985. Maybe he forgot to carry a decimal point. I wonder if you ask me about an event that we all know is coming, but we don't know when that event is coming, and you ask me what you should look for so that you would know when that event that's coming but we don't know when is almost here, if you ask me that, and I told you that when you start seeing cars driving on the Lincoln Highway, when you start hearing trains passing through Grand Mound, when you start seeing farmers in pickup trucks pulling up to Tyson's, going in, eating popcorn, maybe shopping, coming out of Tyson's and getting into their pickup trucks and driving away, when you see those things happening, then you will know that the time for that event is drawing near. If I told you that, what would you think? Jesus is talking about coming events. And he's actually talking here about three coming events. He's talking about, firstly, the destruction of the temple, which is located in Jerusalem. He's talking, secondly, about the occupation of Jerusalem by the Romans. And he's talking, thirdly, about his second coming, the second coming of Jesus. Now, the first two events, the destruction of the temple and the invasion of Jerusalem by the Romans, described here, happened very soon after his glorious resurrection and ascension into heaven. The third event, the second coming of Christ, clearly has not yet happened, and it's that event that we will wait for still. It's not here yet. It hasn't happened. In 70 AD, there was an act of civil disobedience on the part of the Jews in and around the city of Jerusalem. And in response to that act, it's what they did. The occupying and powerful Romans swept down on them. And there was a great deal of bloodshed as described by Jesus. And many fled the city as described by Jesus. And the temple, the center of Judaism, the beacon light for Jewish people from all over the world, was destroyed. And the Roman Jewish historian Josephus tells us that not one stone was left on another, kind of like what Jesus said. The temple has been destroyed and it's not there anymore. The city of Jerusalem was ransacked, but it is still there. Those events have already unfolded and have taken place. And of the three events of which Jesus here speaks, one event has yet to occur, and it will take place, he says, speaking in the first century, at some point in the future. It's going to happen at some point in the future, he says. And the event that Jesus is talking about, the one that has yet to come to pass, is generally referred to as the second coming of Christ. Quick review. In the Old Testament, the second person of the Trinity appears to Abraham and to Jacob and to other people. And then in 4 BC, before Christ, 4 BC, the second person of the Trinity is born to Mary in Bethlehem, and Joseph names him Jesus, which means Savior. And Jesus lived into his early 30s, probably a little bit less than the average male life expectancy at that time and place. And then, of course, Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, and we celebrate that resurrection here every single Sunday. And in a big way on Easter Sunday. And 40 days after he rose, while he was speaking to the apostles, they watched as he began to rise up into the sky, and eventually he got high enough that he could no longer be seen to them. We call it the ascension. And we talk about it in the creeds. And Christians used to have church services on Ascension Day. But 40 days after Easter, which is always a Sunday, is always on a Thursday. And everybody knows that nobody would come to church on a Thursday. We're much too busy to come to church on a Thursday just to celebrate the glorious ascension of the one who had completed his task of delivering us from eternal death and hell. In the creed, we say that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. We say that in both creeds, and that's the second coming of Christ. And when we talk about the second coming of Christ, we're talking about an event that will happen in the future. The time when Jesus will come for final judgment on all people, both living and dead. And the question is asked by some of his disciples as they're walking through the temple with their eyes cast up. You walk into the Canterbury Cathedral, you can't help but being gobsmacked at the enormity of the thing. And a person could spend hours looking at the stained glass windows at St. Patrick in Dublin. And even the National Cathedral in D.C., or that one cathedral in St. Louis, what's it called, is a magnificent building. And if you look at the list of top attractions for Rome on Travelocity, that list is top-heavy with awe-inspiring church buildings. The same thing would have been said about the temple in Jerusalem as is said about those magnificent cathedrals. Same thing would have been said about the temple in the time of Jesus. And some of his disciples are clearly gobsmacked at the mere sight of the temple, and probably they've seen it before. Yet still, as they walk through it, you sort of get the idea that they're downstate state hicks on their first trip to Chicago, looking up at all the buildings. Some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings. And then Jesus sort of killed their buzz, didn't he? Saying, as for these things which you see, the days will come when there shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. It's like you're studying the stained glass at St. Patrick in Dublin, and the tour guide says to you, you know, one day this is all going to be rubble. That's what Jesus said of the temple. As for these things which you see, the days will come when they shall not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And they asked him, Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign when this is about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you are not led astray. They want a sign. That word there, the Greek word semaion, usually means a supernatural act, something that's miraculous. That's what they're looking for. And that's not going to come right away. They ask him when it's going to be that these things are going to take place. When will this be, the events of which he is about to speak? The destruction of temple and of Jerusalem, his second coming, those three things will all come soon enough. But we note here that in answer to the question put to him by his disciples, a question about the timing of these events, he responds by warning them, don't be led astray. It's almost like he's saying when it comes to the timing of these things, don't be led astray. And he talks about people. Probably got in trouble for that. Talks about false prophets. Talks about false Christs. False saviors who will claim They have come to save you, and they haven't. And he warns them about that. They will claim these prophets to speak from God, and they will claim to be God. Don't be led astray. That's the first thing he says in regards to the timing of this things that are going to happen. Don't be led astray. Quick question. What do the following people have in common? Simon Bar Kokhba, Moses of Crete, David Koresh, Isaac Luria, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, Gail Ratson. What do these people have in common? I don't expect you to know that. Along with two or three other people at any given time, read the Jerusalem Post, you can see who they are. They are the people about whom Jesus is talking when he warns his disciples of the false Christ that will rise. Those people I named have all claimed to be the Christ, and they're not. They and hundreds or thousands of others have claimed to be the Christ, and they're not. But people have been led astray by them. And the false prophets, those who claim to speak for God but don't, how many of those are out there? Well, freedom of religion in our country has brought us many things, some of them good, also brought us, 5,000 different denominations, Christian denominations. I suppose not all of them can be right on all things. Question about signs. After warning them about false Christs and false prophets, Jesus goes on to articulate several signs that when observed will let us know that the time of the day of the Lord, the second coming, is near. And included in those signs, and nothing really miraculous or supernatural here, wars and rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, says those are the beginnings of the birth pangs. For the Christian, he says, there will be betrayal, hardship, persecution. The temple will be destroyed, but not until it's thoroughly defiled, and it was. And after the ascension of Jesus, how long was it before these signs took place? How long was it before the people began to observe wars? Rumors of wars, famines, earthquakes, for Christian betrayal, hardship, and persecution. How long before the temple was destroyed, Jerusalem razed? A few years. Is not Jesus correct in saying this generation will not pass away until all those very common things happen? Wars, earthquakes, famine. And he concludes with the fig tree. He concludes his answer to the question about timing by referencing the fig tree. I don't know that I've ever seen a fig tree, but I've seen apple trees and cherry trees and peach trees. And I got a pear tree right out back here, bared very nicely this year. And we all know that when the leaves and the buds come onto those trees, spring is about to spring and summer is about to return. A few months away from that yet. Likewise, look at the signs of his second coming, and you know that your salvation is near when you hear about wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes, famine. Then you know your salvation is near. Sometimes people hear that and they think to themselves, I have a lot to do yet on this earth. I'm not sure if I want that to come quite yet. I know that because sometimes I think that. Our salvation is drawing near. Our salvation in heaven, which is going to be really, really good. And when will this be? That's the question. When is Jesus going to come back and take us home to heaven forever? See the signs. See the signs. When you see cars on Highway 30, when you hear trains going through Grand Mound, when you see farmers shopping down at Tyson's, then you'll know that the time is near. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.